You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, our guest explains why Wisconsin nursing homes and long-term care facilities are struggling to find qualified workers. Right now, it's time for our weekly look at the latest from the presidential campaign. Yesterday marked the last day of the primary season, with voters in the District of Columbia casting their ballots for the two remaining Democratic presidential hopefuls. Plus, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders met last night, and we'll find out what that might mean. Also, Donald Trump banned the Washington Post from access to his events. We'll talk about all that. Joining us now is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538.com. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
How do you feel? The last primary is over.
Thank God. Thank God this is all over. We now have a general election campaign. We only have 5 more months to go. And once that happens, I plan on retiring to Hawaii for at least a month.
Well, you've earned it. What do you think about the results last night? Any surprise?
Not really. I mean, we all knew that the District of Columbia would be a primary that favored Hillary Clinton. It's chock full of African Americans, who she's done tremendously with, and well-educated white voters, who she's also done very well with. So she ends up winning by 60 points. It doesn't make a difference in the sense that she already has the majority of delegates necessary to, you know, get the nomination come convention time. But it's just a nice little finishing touch for her as we move into the general election.
Right, and on the heels of that win last night, Hillary Clinton met with Bernie Sanders privately for, I gather, nearly 2 hours. What do you think they talked about? What do you expect to come out of a meeting like that?
Well, they basically, you know, according to both campaigns, they both issued press releases that sounded very similar, in which, you know, Sanders is basically trying to ensure that his progressive platform is understood and incorporated to as much of a degree as possible by Hillary Clinton. Stuff like making college affordable, health care, just general stuff like that where they agree. And, you know, we'll see how much of it she incorporates. But, you know, I will say that there's a lot of talk wondering whether or not he overplayed his hand, insofar as that he obviously didn't do too well in primaries over the last few weeks, and Clinton's already got Obama's endorsement and Warren's endorsement, whether he should have folded earlier in hopes of getting her to capitulate more on some of these issues. But clearly he's going to go on for a little bit further and try and ensure that a progressive agenda is represented at the Democratic National Convention.
Do you see him capitulating anytime soon?
Not really. I mean, we thought that maybe on Thursday night he has this this town hall that he's going to be doing with people via video. And there was some thought that maybe, you know, he would announce then that he was dropping out. But reports are now that he won't. However, it's very clear that he knows that Hillary Clinton got more votes than he did and will be the nominee. They continue to say, we know who got the most votes. But, you know, essentially what they want to do is just continue on, perhaps being a little less negative, not talking about delegate counts, not trying to overturn the result, basically just trying to keep his name in the news and the issues that Bernie Sanders cares about in the news.
Well, I've been reading about some of the things he'd like by way of reform. He wants to address what he sees as a problem with superdelegates. Also, he's looking for new leadership within the Democratic Party. How likely are those things looking to be picked up by Hillary as she goes forward?
I would be a little more cautious about that than perhaps others might. I mean, sure, there are some certain things like superdelegates that are mentioned, but those are liked by the establishment because it ensures them some power. Also, if you look, I think a lot of Republican insiders wish they had superdelegates, because if the Republican system was the same as the Democratic system for selecting presidential nominees in terms of proportionality of delegates, not winner-take-all and superdelegates, then Donald Trump would be short of the 1237 instead of being well over. So he's going to fight for those. There's going to be some talk about it. There probably is going to be some talk about open primaries going forward, which is something that Bernie Sanders wants. But I would be cautious into thinking that those types of things will pass. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll be able to push enough buttons and say, hey, if you do this one little thing, I'll back you up tomorrow, Secretary Clinton, and maybe she'll do that. But for now, I'm a little cautious. I'm thinking he'll have too much control.
You mentioned that you were wondering, or others have been wondering, whether Sanders had overplayed his hand, if he had folded earlier, whether he might have more receptivity for some of the things he's looking for. But on the other hand, we were just talking about the latest Marquette Law School poll, which is just out as of this afternoon, and both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, pretty high unfavorables. In fact, at least in Wisconsin, Sanders does better there, and he also does better in a supposed matchup between Sanders and Trump, which doesn't look like it will happen, but in terms of overplaying his hand, he does have some strong numbers.
Sure, and you wouldn't hear me disagree with my good old friend Charles Franklin, who's a great pollster, and love Charles going all the way back, but that same poll also found that Hillary Clinton was leading Donald Trump by 9 points, and that is without Bernie Sanders supporters or a good number of them backing Hillary Clinton. So if she gets those, she could go, you know, well in the double digits with her lead. But she is already winning the polls, both in Wisconsin and nationally. The national polls are widening. There was a Bloomberg poll yesterday, which, although was a bit of an outlier, still 12 percentage points. She was ahead. The average of polls has her up by about 5 or 6 points. That's wider than it was a few weeks ago. So Clinton's doing perfectly fine without Sanders. Now, certainly she would want his supporters to back her, but he's not in a position where he might have been a few weeks ago when those national polls were looking much closer to even. Now it's pretty clear that Clinton can win without those Sanders supporters, but getting them would be nice.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about the horrible tragedy of this weekend, the Orlando shooting, and we've been covering that here in Central Time from a variety of angles, including safe spaces for the LGBT population. We'll be talking about the issue of hate and terrorism coming up. But in terms of politics, I hate to politicize it. It just happened. But you guys have been talking about how it could affect the election. Basically, I think you're saying we don't really know, but what do we know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, we wish that these types of things weren't politicized, but the fact is we have a presidential campaign going on and both candidates are articulating issues. So, you know, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we weren't talking about it. You're right. We don't really know, but I think what there was a lot of thought during the primary season that Donald Trump was, his standing in the polls were helped by the San Bernardino and Paris attacks. You saw his numbers go up, and he was more favored than the other Republican candidates were on those issues among Republican voters. But the one thing I would stress is that in a general election, in fact, those numbers don't look anywhere near as good for Trump. For instance, on handling an international crisis, Clinton's well ahead. On the issue of terrorism, the two are basically tied, where Trump was well out ahead before. So, you know, essentially what I would say is let's wait and see. But the one thing I will say is we do know, we did see the CBS News poll that came out this morning, which showed that more Americans than not approved of the response by Hillary Clinton, while a majority did not approve of the response by Donald Trump. So right now it seems like Clinton is winning that battle, but we'll see in the days and weeks to go.
So we'll keep talking right now about Donald Trump. We just mentioned him there in his response to the attacks. He made news earlier this week talking about the Washington Post. He's revoked the press credentials for the Washington Post. What happened?
Donald Trump doesn't like bad press. He has revoked the press credentials of other people as well, BuzzFeed, for instance. This is something that he does. And, you know, the press helped him out tremendously during the primary season. If you look, there was a report out this week that showed that Donald Trump received pretty much more favorable press coverage than any other GOP candidate. And not only just more, I mean, not just the percentage, but so much more press. He received so much more. And in a multi-candidate field, getting a lot of press is very, very helpful because positions don't differ very much between the candidates. So the more you're in the ears and minds of voters, the better chance you have of winning. So all of a sudden we go to the general election, and now reporters are really digging into past statements of Trump, issuing stuff that's going on. And I think what Trump is also seeing are these general election polls, which I mentioned, they are widening. He sees a lot of bad press being thrown at him. And remember, it's not just the Washington Post that's digging up stuff. It's the New York Times, it's NBC News, it's pretty much everybody. And I think Trump is just very, very frustrated. But what I will say is that Robert Costa, who is one of the chief political writers over there at the Washington Post, who formerly wrote for conservative magazines, has been very fair. This idea that he's getting unfair press is ludicrous to me. It's just that the stuff that he says perhaps is not seen to be very nice by most of the American public, as the polls tend to indicate.
Does Donald Trump need the press? I mean, his camp has made the case that his Facebook reach, his Twitter reach is pretty huge, and maybe he can just go directly to the people.
I mean, his Twitter reach is huge. It's certainly bigger than mine, but again, most people aren't on Twitter. And, you know, most people aren't fans of Donald Trump on Facebook. That is, they're not receiving all of his posts. So he can talk around the press as much as possible. But he's not talking to most Americans, especially not most swing voters who, to be perfectly honest, probably are better off than all of us because they're not thinking about politics all the time. They're getting their news through their local news station or maybe the nightly news. And so to me, it's a folly to believe that you could simply get around these traditional news sources. Maybe in a primary where people are much more in tune to what's going on, you can rely more upon Twitter or Facebook. But in a general election, I just don't see that working. And I think if people were really listening to what Donald Trump's Twitter and Facebook page were saying, then Trump wouldn't be trailing in the polls right now with a widening lead for Hillary Clinton.
And from a media perspective, does the media need access? Does the Washington Post, for instance, need access to Donald Trump to be right there on the floor with the rest of the journalists to cover him? I saw a tweet from a Washington Post reporter. You know, they put out a piece on him and she said, look, we covered you without access. What do you think?
I mean, you don't need access. I mean, you can, you know, read the pool reports, for instance, that come out that are, you know, issued. You can watch his speeches on television or on radio. I think you gain a little bit more when you're there and you're in the hall and you understand what's going on, and maybe you get some insider access and get a better understanding of what the candidate is exactly thinking and doing. But you don't need access. But I will say that it probably hurts the coverage a little bit. But more than that, if the campaign is not willing to talk with the reporters, it means that the reporters are only going to get one side, and it's not going to be the side of the issue that's Donald Trump's side. It's going to be the other side because other people will be talking. To me, it's a terrible idea to try and get better coverage. In fact, you'll probably get more negative coverage because of the people who will actually be talking to the reporters.
Looking at the relationship this election cycle between the candidates and the media, Chris Saliz, also from the Washington Post, pointed out that Hillary Clinton hasn't done a press conference in quite a while in a way that spoke to him. What do you think? Is there something different or transformational happening this election cycle between the candidates and the media?
I mean, Hillary Clinton almost, you know, doesn't really trust the press for any number of reasons, rightfully or wrongfully. I'd say wrongfully, to be honest, to stick up for my fellow press members. But she's never done that. She's relied more upon, you know, ads and maybe talking to specialty radio and television programs. That's something that Barack Obama frequently does. He gets criticized, for instance, on going on Fallon while not talking, you know, to quote-unquote serious reporters. But I would say what made Donald Trump so unique was that he did all of this press. He called in the CNN. He appeared on CNN. He appeared on Fox. He appeared on Morning Joe. He appeared on all these programs. He gave himself, part of the reason he got unlimited press access was because he was willing to put himself out there. And I thought that was a positive for his campaign. Now, all of a sudden, he's not doing that. So he's not getting all of this free press that he once did, or at least the free positive press that he once did. And Hillary Clinton is going to be able to go more on par with him than any of his GOP primary competitors were. And to me, it's not a smart move. And I don't think it's particularly good either for the quote-unquote republic for both of our candidates not to be willing to go to the press. But keep in mind, it's not like President Obama is offering a lot of press either, and most Americans seem to like the job he's doing. So I don't want to overstretch how big of a deal this is, but I would say it's not a good thing.
Now, you and Nate Silver had a conversation about why battleground states like Wisconsin have been so seemingly stable in recent elections and if that could change. What do you think? This has been a wildly unpredictable election season. Do you think things could change there?
Sure. I mean, what we know, what our conversation was essentially about was, hey, in the past few cycles, the both parties have selected candidates who are fairly safe. They're fairly generic candidates. And so there's not any real way that they shake up the map, especially as partisanship has become stronger and stronger and stronger. Republicans vote for Republicans and Democrats vote for Democrats. But Donald Trump is not a traditional candidate by any other name. I mean, he's just not. And in fact, if you look at a state like Wisconsin, you know, you look at that Marquette poll, Hillary Clinton was up 9 among likely voters. She hasn't led by anything less than 9 in any poll published this entire cycle in the state of Wisconsin. I just, unless something dramatically changes, Wisconsin, which, you know, has been a fairly swing state, although carried by Democrats since 88, you know, Bush came close to winning it both in 2000, 2004. Unless something changes, I just don't see how it's going to be all that competitive, while states like Arizona and maybe Georgia could, for Clinton, which were lost by President Obama by fairly wide margins, could become more competitive. But we'll see down the line as these campaigns really get underway. We'll see if these states that look like they were swinging don't end up being, while those states that were more traditionally swingy do end up being true swing states once again.
Well, Harry, thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much.
That is Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. He joins us every week at this time to talk about the latest in national politics. Coming up after the news, we talk about what's behind the shortage of caregivers in Wisconsin. Our guest says we are at a crisis level when it comes to that shortage. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.